We'll open up to Romans chapter 12. Follow along with me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same functions, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Cool. Thanks, Jeffrey. Really appreciate that, brother. So that is, we've been reading that text every week for the past 3 weeks now. And next week, guess what we're going to read? That text again, okay? So I hope that's been blessing you as we just kind of keep in this Romans 12 and trying to figure out, what is this saying to me? And there's so stinking much that it's saying, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but the past 2 weeks have really been a blessing to me as I'm just kind of in that text and just kind of figuring it out. Last week's message, transformation, you know, has that been blessing you this week? Is that helping you at all? One person? Great. Nice job. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for how awesome that is. You know, ultimately, folks, this really is a message. When I leave here on Sunday mornings, I almost always just spend some time in my car. I'm almost the last one always to leave. And I'm just sitting there, and one of the prayers I always pray is, Lord, let this be a message that just doesn't stop here. Let it not be a message or a worship time that stops in the parking lot. May it go with our people and go with us into the rest of this week. I mean, the idea is not to just think about the message right now. The idea is to be formed by it and to think about it and let God work on you the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? This is like the beginning of 7 days of this. So if it's a really, I was going to say sucky, but I probably shouldn't say sucky, a really terrible message, then I'm sorry because that's 7 days of kind of terrible. But you know what I'm saying? All right, cool. I'm going to stop there. And booyah! Let me get my stopwatch going here. Let's say a prayer, and then we're going to dive into today's message. Heavenly Father, open up our hearts and our minds, please. Work in us and through us right now. Even just now, getting some texts, Lord, from some people who are sick and are just not able to make it this morning. I pray for healing for them, and I pray for please bring some ease to their pain. God, open up our hearts and our minds to receiving your word now and all of its truth. And, Lord, please help me to simply slowly disappear. God, it's not about me. Lord, just help me to just preach like Dad always says, Lord, just as a dying man to a dying world. Just please, just let that happen. Let that take place right now. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So where I'm kind of looking this morning is Romans, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Don't take revenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. Let God do that. Now, if you want to talk about revenge, okay? If you want to talk about and learn about revenge, all you need to do is be in like middle school or high school or college or something like that, okay? So my freshman and sophomore year at college was an entire year of revenge. It really was. I lived on a floor with a group of guys that became obviously some of my best friends even now. But this was a year of doing something to someone and then, well, you have to follow it up with something else, right? And I can still, I can't fully remember what I did, but I did something to a guy named David Vorman. And again, I honestly can't remember because I did so much stuff to this guy, okay? And we picked on each other all this group of guys, like 20 of us on this floor. And one day I wake up and I go to take a shower. And I'm showering, okay? And I'm showering. And I remove the shower curtain, okay? And I take the shower curtain and I just move it over. And there where all of my clothes used to be, right, are gone. They're gone. And I could hear him around the corner. And he just took all my clothes. He took my towel. He took everything. So I really quickly, I ripped this down. I ripped it down. And I just kind of like covered up, okay? I just kind of like did this. And I began to chase David Vorman, okay, all over our dorm. And I ended up like getting, and this is actually terrible. Kids, just cover your ears for a second. I grab a hold of him and I throw him to the ground. And I'm just like, I don't even remember. I'm just like, it was bad. It was just bad, right? And I'm covered just like this. This is all I got on. All my clothes. I'm trying to get my clothes back. And then it just only escalates further, right? And all of a sudden, then it's the Saran wrap toilets, okay? And you're going to the bathroom and it's just not okay. It's just, you know, I'm just getting. And then there's the you know, like the Kool-Aid up in the shower heads. Okay, you ever do that one? And just, oh, there's a couple. Yeah, I invented that one. Are you kidding me? I taught you. I YouTubed that one. But there's just revenge after revenge. And it just continues to get worse, doesn't it? It just continues to just get worse and worse and worse. It just starts to spiral out of control. And the reality is, and this is kind of where I'm going this morning, is our culture teaches us that taking revenge, that avenging yourself or avenging somebody else is kind of the way to go, right? We hear words, we hear phrases like, he's got what's coming to him, right? I mean, that's what we get. We know this. What goes around comes around, right? We know that this is how it's supposed to work. When somebody does something to me, then I'm supposed to do something back. Movies are built on this. You know, I mean, Revenge of the Sith. Isn't that? Yeah, that's one. Revenge of the Sith. I mean, that's all you got to do is just kind of like type in revenge and movie after movie after movie. They're built on this. This idea that if somebody does something to me, then I do something back to you because that's what you deserve. That's what you deserve. Today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. Today we're going to be talking about don't avenge yourselves, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. What does that look like? What does that mean? So how I kind of want to go about this is really just break it down into 3 points. My first point is just living, letting go. Let go. Let go. I'm going to explain what that means in a second. The second is to forgive. And then the third point is going to be forgiven. And we're just going to kind of look at this. We're going to just kind of figure out what's going on. So the first thing is let go. Just kind of look at that text again. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. But leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Isn't it true that we desire, isn't it amazing that we desire justice? We desire this inside of us, don't we? I mean, when something happens that's amiss, We look at that thing and we think, gosh, something's got to happen there. Somebody has to be held accountable. Some kind of justice needs to be done. Something needs to play out in some way. And what's fascinating about this is that this is actually part of who we are as creatures of God. As we're made in his image, right, we actually can start to look and start to think about this and start to ask, wait, maybe this is actually okay. That we desire justice is not bad. See? That we desire some kind of, somebody's got to be held accountable for this. I mean, it's all you have to do is go watch TV for the news for one night. Go watch the news for one night to see murder, to see just the terrible things taking place. And we, our inner being, we're just like, this is bad. This is wrong. Something is not okay here. Something is amiss. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 13, verse 2. He says this, "How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" The psalmist here is saying, how long will this kind of stuff go on? You ever find yourself thinking that? How long is this going to happen? How long is this unjust thing going to take place? Maybe this is something that's been done to you. Maybe it's something that's happening to you right now. And you're just wondering, this is so unjust. How long, Lord, will you be awaiting? I mean, all over the Psalms, it's constant. How long? How long? How long? Why is this going on? See, this is actually, this morning, if you're not like a believer, if you're maybe kind of, maybe somebody who's kind of questioning or thinking about different things, I would suggest to you that the very fact that you desire justice connects you to the Creator. The very fact that you desire some kind of justice, because I'm just kind of hitting pause here for a second, but where does that otherwise come from? If that's all you're, just a bunch of neurons kind of flaring and blowing and going and so in your mind, if it's just survival of the fittest of some kind, then actually that kind of stuff shouldn't matter. I'm just talking philosophically here, right? I mean, if strong people can take down the weak people, then injustice shouldn't, that where does that come from? And I'd really challenge you on that. See, the fact that we desire justice, the fact that we look at the world and we see things that are wrong, that we see things that are amiss, is deeply part of the Christian narrative. We look at things and we say, that is not okay. Justice needs to be done. So what does that mean then when the Apostle Paul is telling us, beloved, don't avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. Well, I would suggest this. I would suggest two points underneath this point. God does hold people accountable, both now and in eternity. And here's my first point. Both now. Look at, it's almost as if the Apostle Paul knows this kind of question is coming. Where does this take place now? That's all you have to do is read a little further. So I know it's going to be on the screen and it's going to look like this is in some other crazy part of the Bible. It's actually like on the exact same page, okay? So chapter 14, verse 2 is where I'm going to start. It's not on the screen. But listen to this. The Apostle Paul, this is like a couple verses later. Only a couple verses later, he says this. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Justice. Look at verse 4. For he is God's servant, this I have for you, for he is God's servant for your good. For if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. You see that? That's huge. That is so huge. That is our God gifting us with the gift of those in authority, okay, in multiple different ways who come to our aid to bring justice. When you're listening to your neighbor, okay, when you're listening to your neighbor beat up on their spouse and you can hear stuff happening and you call the police and maybe you even go over there and you're trying to put stuff, I don't know exactly how that would play out, but you call the police and you say, hey, we need the cops over here. And the police come and they take that guy away, that's justice being done. Do you see that? That's God working through his servants to bring justice. That's a good thing. This lady that's been kidnapped, you've been watching that lady who got kidnapped in Missouri or something like that? I mean, that's a prayer of mine. I'm praying for justice to be done. I'm praying, Lord, let that person be caught and let them be held accountable to the fullest extent of what that should look like. Now, I don't fully know what that means and what it should look like, but I'm saying I pray that prayer. And the reality is God has gifted us with ways in which his justice is even worked out, even now today. Let's say you have a kid in school, and your kid's getting beat up, okay? Your kid's getting beat up at school, getting bullied. And you go to the principal and you say, hey, principal, hey, you who's been put in authority in this particular situation, something needs to be done. Your reaction is to what? Go take off. You know, I've had this. I've wanted to hurt really bad little three-year-olds. You know what I mean? You ever do that? You ever been to the playground and you see somebody doing something to your kid and you're like, I'm going to actually go kill that kid over there. This is going to be terrible for, you know, our church, and we're going to be on the news. But we're going to have made it on the news. That'll be cool, you know what I'm saying? But this is going to be bad because I'm going to go hurt that little two-year-old, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, instead of that kind of response, you maybe go to the principal and you say, hey, you have to step in here, and you need to incur some kind of justice so that this is taken care of. That's completely appropriate, and I would even argue it's God working in and through his servants in the world. You see that? This is powerful. This is super practical. God works justice and judgment even now. That's a powerful thing for the Christian to live in that context. There's a lot of narratives out there that do not have that. The second thing is he will bring justice in an eternal kind of way. And the text that I'd point to, which is there's a bunch that I could take us to, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Listen to what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, snap. My wife's favorite Bible verse is from Philippians 2. We will all bow our knee to the King. We will all bow our knee to the King. There is judgment. See, we live in a world where God has been made into such a, like a little fairy. You know, like the little like fairy, the blue one? I'm thinking of the blue one right now. The fairy from the Disney movie? Tinkerbell? No, I don't, maybe Tinkerbell. The blue fairy. the big blue fairy. But I'm thinking of the blue fairy from Beauty and the Beast. It doesn't. Sleeping Beauty. Thank you. Thank you, my Disney lovers. Thank you. But the little blue fairy, you know, there's a couple different colors, but just, oh, love, or something like that. That's how we've kind of turned God into. See, our God is actually a God, he's a God of love. But he's also a God of justice. He's a God of justice. There is judgment. We do stand before the seat of Christ someday. What does that? Oh, geez. What does that mean? What does that look like? He's merciful. It's grounded in mercy. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Yes, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. There is justice. That leave room for the wrath of God. But leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. This is, in the Christian narrative, God ends up, follow this, God ends up taking all wrong things and making it right. People do actually get what's coming to them. Now, I'm not even moving into faith and all that kind of stuff yet, but I'm talking very, people get what's coming to them. Justice will be accomplished in the end. We have a God of, he's a just God. In our inner being, we desire that. We actually desire that from our God. Do you see what I'm saying? We desire that. And as we're made in his image, that's it flows out of that. And we see wrong things and we say, something's got to happen there. And God says, there will be. There will be judgment. Now, I wanted to share this. This phrase from here, this quote from Tim Keller. Just listen to this from one of his books. If I don't believe that there is a God who will eventually put all things right, then what am I going to do? Then I will take up the sword and I'll be sucked into this endless vortex of retaliation. Only if I'm sure that there's a God who will right all wrongs and settle all accounts perfectly, do I have the power to refrain? That's deep. See, and I'm gonna teach on this some more, and some more is gonna kind of come and flow out of this. But the Christian narrative where God brings justice in the end, and where God works judgment, and where God actually rights all wrongs, I'm telling you, this is a powerful thing, a powerful gift that we get to live in the context of. It's something we believe. Okay, so judgment, okay, that's scary stuff. And then, but just don't freak out yet. Just don't freak out too much. The next piece that I want to pick up is forgive. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. To the contrary, okay, so you might have to let go of vengeance, but to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. What does this mean? Because it's not just let go, but then there's actually, letting go could be almost kind of passive. It could kind of be, okay, fine, I'll let go. But now all of a sudden we're told to engage. If there's somebody who's hungry, who might even be your enemy, I want you to feed him. If there's somebody who's your enemy who's thirsty, I actually want you to give him something to drink. And all of a sudden, we are called to respond in grace, in mercy. I mean, this is the mercies of God, which I would argue is what this entire chapter is built on, is chapter 12, verse 1, and the chapters 1 through 11, right? By the mercies of God, can we even do this? But here we're told, we're here we're asked, here we're commanded, forgive. Even someone who might be your enemy, will you forgive? Now, this isn't, not, when you think enemy, you think of ISIS, right? But I'm talking even your mother-in-law here, folks. You following me? Come on now, let's get, yeah, that one time when I meet some ISIS guy, fine, maybe I'll forgive him. No, let's, yeah, that moment too, fine. But the people we engage with on a regular basis who gives you the weird look, you know, who gives you the kind of sideways glance, who's ruining maybe your life, who's doing things that's just bothering you and annoying you, family, friends, your enemy. Here we're called to respond with grace and mercy. To heap burning coals on their head. What's that all about? There's actually some deep stuff there, but I'm not going to get into it today. I would just say this. Have you ever taken like a coal? There's actually a little camp game where you take a little burning coal and you have it in your hand and you pass it to the people around you. Okay, you guys are a lot smarter than us up in Wisconsin. I get that. I'm seeing that now because nobody's like, yeah, I played that game. Yeah, that was a fun game. No, of course not. I get it. Okay. But we used to play a game where you'd like have a little coal and you can blow on it and just kind of pass it. And you actually kind of, but here's what's amazing. You put some coals on somebody's head. My brain goes to simply this thought. They're going to know very quickly that something's up. Right? They're going to know really quickly that, man, something's going on here. I got burning coals on my head. I got to do something. I'm made aware of the situation. And when we respond to even our enemies in love, they begin, it causes this, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on here at a deeper level? It just causes them to kind of be jostled a little bit. Kind of just wake them up a little bit. And so ultimately, even as we respond to put coals on their head, it's because we care about them. It's because we love them. Now, sometimes with our enemies, this is only a love that can come from God. I get that. I was doing some research just on different kinds of vengeance, revenge, right, all week. And I came across, do you guys remember that Amish, that shooting that took place with the Amish back in October 2006? Remember that? That school shooting? Yeah. And I was reading some stuff on there, and I tell you what, there were some moments where I was kind of moved to, if not tears, I was close to it, reading some of these stories of parents and grandparents of these kids who that day had been killed, extending forgiveness and love to the shooter's parents, to the shooter's family. Inviting them into their, my brain can't even imagine, but inviting them into their funeral times for their little girls and going to the shooter's funeral. I'm telling, that day, one Amish guy said it better than I think. He just said it so well when he said, "I think I've forgiven him. I think I've forgiven him." Man, do you ever feel like right there? I think I have. Like, he's so struggling. Because, see, forgiveness, guys, forgiveness is suffering. You have to suffer forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just easy. See, oftentimes a message like this just gets to like, oh, yeah, just forgive the person. No. There's suffering that comes with forgiveness. It's hard to forgive some people. There are some people in this room who have had things done to them in their life that are so beyond what we can even, it's a hard message to even listen to because some things have been so done to us. I get it. I get it. There's been some things done that are just so. And to forgive is suffering. This is not easy. This is not gentle. This is not quiet. This is hard. And you suffer this forgiveness. A guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I was reading some of his book this past week, and he was just talking about the transfer of forgiveness, where you actually start to carry some of the weight of what's been done. I get it. I don't know what you've gone through. Some of you I do. Some of you I know. But a bunch of you, I don't know what you've gone through. And to be told, forgive, is super hard. And I'll be honest with you, it almost leads us to the place where we ask the question, how is this possible? How is this possible? And it actually is the very first word of our text today. That is only able to make it possible. Did you catch that? Verse 19. Beloved, you who are incredibly loved. Look at Romans 12, verse 19. Go ahead and just show that. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, next one. There we go. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We are so loved by God. And I don't know about you, but the one thing in my life that has shaped my way of thinking about God and my relationship more than anything else has been me being a dad. And as I look at my kids and how much I love them and how much I care about them, even in spite of sometimes being frustrated and annoyed, and I know this doesn't actually super help with today's message, because again, we're talking about enemies. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about how we and our sin actually put a relationship between us and God where we'd be seen as enemies of Him. We've rebelled against Him. And it's precisely in that moment that God shows up to die for you. It's precisely in that. It's not you having it all put together. It's not you cleaning up your life that then he comes and dies. It's in the moment of enmity between me and God. I've done some things that I've separated. I've rebelled against him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't understand that, you won't understand any of the message. If you don't understand how much God loves you in spite of your sin, in spite of your brokenness, in spite of you regularly rebelling against him, in spite of you seeking after the things of this world, trying to get more money, trying to make more, buy more vehicles, and in spite of those kinds of things, in spite of, I mean, just name the sin. Name the brokenness. It's precisely in that that he comes to bring forgiveness. And this morning, if you don't get that, here's what will happen. I can tell you what will happen. You will still forgive people, but they will be your friends. They'll be people you love. And you'll still bring some kind of, yeah, I forgive you. But that's not what this text is talking about. Because what that kind of forgiveness will do, as soon as you come up against an enemy, it'll switch to hate. It'll switch to, I despise this person. It'll switch to, I actually don't care about this person. That's what'll happen. To be able to love an enemy, to be able to forgive somebody what's been done to you, it's you can't unless you understand what God has done for you. See, when Jesus, I was thinking, when Jesus had his clothes taken away, when Jesus was stripped and is hanging on the cross, naked, in all humility. I tore out of that shower. I made sure that guy got what was coming to him. And when I think of Jesus who just stayed hanging there, the Son of God, he didn't retaliate. He just forgave. And when he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. Only that, only an experience of that will free you to be able to do what this text is saying. Only to live under the merciful God that we have, to live under his grace, will you be able to move to a place where I forgive you. I don't want to at all. But I'm going to suffer through this kind of forgiveness because this is what Jesus has done for me. It's only his strength, you guys, that that's even possible. When you understand the context, it changes us. It changes you. Changes how you live. May that take place this morning. Let me pray for you now. Lord Jesus, change us. Mold us. This teaching is, I would say, probably the hardest teaching, Lord. Because there have been some things that have taken place in this room that are absolutely inexcusable. Where deep in our being, deep in our, even not in our sin, even in a righteous way, we say, justice has to happen here. And we are so frustrated with that. We just want somebody to be held accountable for it. Lord, I thank you that you provide that through those in authority. I thank you that there are people who are in prison. I thank you that there are people who get what's coming to them in this world and that you exert judgment where judgment is needed. But God, we are imperfect people. We will always retaliate, Lord, in ways that are more than what's not just. And oftentimes it just gets out of hand. God, help us to just let you do the avenging, both now and in eternity. Lord Jesus, when we stand before the judgment seat, Lord, that's a scary thing right now for some people. And continue to work just a healthy fear in those that need that. In those that need comfort, Lord, to be reminded that through faith in you, our judgment took place on the cross. And Jesus, we praise you that you have so taken upon yourself our sin and forgave us, not when we were looking cute, but in our enmity with you. Thank you for not coming off the cross and giving us what we deserve, but taking that punishment upon yourself. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. Let that shape us. Let that change us in such a way that we might suffer forgiveness for somebody else. Not to go back into the abuse or anything like that, Lord. Help nobody to have heard that kind of message today. But to be able to stand back now and just say, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm going to suffer that. So that this retaliatory thing just stops. You have to work that in us, Lord. You have to work that in us. Please do that this morning. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. We praise you, Lord. And we sing to you now. Amen.